Okay, welcome. Taking care of a cloud environment. Now, if you run your application on Windows Azure, you basically know the components, you know there are web roles, you know there are worker roles, you know there's storage, the service bus, and all that stuff. But how are you going to check whether that stuff is running correctly and if you don't have memory issues or performance issues on your application? And that's what this session will be about. So really knowing where your application is living when it's hosted inside Windows Azure, and on the other hand, monitoring the environment where your application is living. So Bart introduced me. My name is Maarten Baljouw from Antwerp. I work at Real Dolmen, and I normally focus on web, so ASP, ASP.NET, PHP, but recently also on Azure, and I've been working with it for over a year now, and I really like the platform, and I'll probably keep investing in looking into the platform and seeing whatever you can squeeze out of the platform. My blog is up there. Posts are a bit divided between ASP.NET and MVC and Azure, but there's lots of Azure content over there, mostly technical content. But nevertheless, I think interesting content to see how you can implement some scenarios. Should you be really interested in my coffee abuse, you can also follow me on Twitter. The agenda for today. Well, first of all, I'm going to talk a bit about, well, what's inside the environment? Where is my application living? After that, I'm going to focus on interacting with the environment. So if your application is living inside of the fabric, how can you interact with the fabric? Your application is living, well, it's a virtual machine. How can you interact with the virtual machine and the storage, for example, on the local virtual machine? And then afterwards, well, if you combine all the features and all the knowledge you get from the environment, you can actually go to something that combines everything, namely autoscaling. So the thing David Chappell told about that the platform doesn't do for you, you can actually do that if you take care of the necessary monitoring aspects of your application. So first of all, the Windows Azure environments. You may have seen this image. It's with the standard image that you always see in Azure demos, and I think also on the Azure.com website. It basically lists what the components of the platform are. So you have the fabric controller, you have the fabric itself containing all the virtual and physical machines inside of Windows Azure, and those machines will host either blob storage, table storage, queue storage, or web or worker roles. And what I'm going to focus on first is the fabric controller. The fabric controller, well, it basically manages the lifecycle of your application. So your application will always start with nothing, and you will need resources. Well, the fabric controller will make sure you get some resources, and resources are allocated. It will also make sure that your application can get provisioned on those resources. It will also monitor your application and make sure that the virtual machines keep running throughout the process of your applications. Next, it manages both physical machines and virtual machines. As you know, the data center will consist of physical machines running virtual machines. Well, the situation can be when you deploy your application that there is no free virtual machine. And in that case, the fabric controller will spin up a new server that's sitting idle in the data center, turned off. It will turn the machine on, install a new Windows server on that. It will install Hyper-V on that, reboot the thing a couple of times, and then provision a virtual machine. And that's also the reason why it can take a while before your application is deployed. But the fabric controller is thus not only managing virtual machines, it also takes care of the physical machines in the data center. Then it's based on a state machine, so every virtual machine, every role instance in your application has different states. State can be stopped, state can be initializing, can be halted, can be paused, can be running in an ideal situation, and that's the goal state of every role instance. So every role instance should have the state running. And every heartbeat of the fabric controller, which is a cluster of about 7 machines throughout all the Azure environment, every heartbeat will check for the statuses of all the virtual machines and the role instances, and will try to get the instance into the goal state, namely running. Next to that, when resources are allocated, it depends a bit. It's not just we take the first virtual machine that we find and we deploy our application on that. No. Basically, when you upload a new application, you define how many instances you need, what kind of network traffic do you need? Do you need HTTP? Do you need TCP connections? What ports do you need open? Then you also say, I want 2 virtual machines, or 3, or 4, or 10. And when you deploy, the Fabric controller will, well, make use of that information to find the ideal location for running your application. So if you need a lot of virtual machines, it will try to distribute that over the data center. If you need special networking stuff, like, for example, TCP connections and internal TCP connections and stuff like that, depending on that, the Fabric controller will allocate your application onto another location in the data center. Also, this thing is transactional. So if something fails during resource allocation, it will simply roll back everything and try it again in another location of the data center, just to make sure you get a reliable environment from the beginning of the deployment of your application. Next to that, it will also perform deployments and upgrades of your application. So if you upload a new version of your application, the Fabric controller will manage every role instance gets upgraded. So it will bring one down, install the upgrade there, bring it back up, bring down a second, and stuff like that. All based on the upgrade domains, which I think Yves talked about earlier. Based on that information, it will bring down the first 2 or just 1 and make sure you still have some of your application running, so your application isn't down and the world still knows you exist and doesn't think bad of you. Then next to that, it will also monitor the environment. So the Fabric controller will monitor the network, it will monitor the physical machines, it will monitor the virtual machines, but it will also communicate with the Fabric agents, small components on every virtual machine, which I'll talk about later. It will also communicate with that in order to know if the application is still healthy and if, for example, a restart of the role instance needs to be done. Then networking. So we had the Fabric controller, but of course you don't have a data center without networking. Every application gets a virtual IP address inside the Windows Azure cloud. And this virtual IP address is always inside a load balancer. Even if you have only one web server or one web role in your application, it's still in the load balancer. Because, well, when your web role goes down, the load balancer can redirect traffic to a running machine, for example. And, well, that's the situation. The load balancer will be informed by the Fabric controller, which will say, hey, this web role instance is not behaving correctly, take it out of your pool, and the load balancer will only forward traffic to the nodes that are still up. Also fun when doing upgrades, you can have 2 web roles running version 1 of your application. You can have 2 web roles running version 2 of your application. Well, if you want to do an upgrade of your application to version 2, you can simply do an IP swap. And what will happen is that the load balancer will simply have the same IP address of the application, but it will point immediately to the 2 new applications. So an upgrade is really a snap of the finger, and 10 seconds later, you're on the new version. Clear to everyone? Don't hesitate if you have questions to ask them during the session. Then next to the Fabric controller, there's of course the virtual machines inside the Windows Azure environment, and that's what I'll talk about next. The Windows Azure environment, well, you have the Fabric controller, and next to that you have the virtual machines running, of course, an operating system. On this operating system, the Fabric agent is running, so the little thing that communicates with the Fabric controller. There's also a diagnostics monitor running on the application, running on the virtual machine, more on that later. And of course, your application is also running on the virtual machine. Okay, the guest operating system. Basically, it's a Windows 2008 server, which has been modified a little, but basically you get all the features of Windows 2008 version. Currently, there are 3 operating system versions available. Azure has been around for, I think, commercially available for 4 months or something. They already have 3 versions of the operating system, which may sound a lot, but on the other hand, it allows you to choose which hotfixes and patches that you want installed on your virtual machine. So if you don't want, for example, the IIS URL rewriting module that's available. It was only added in the 1.1 version of the guest OS. If you don't need that, you can choose version 1.0, for example. Switching operating systems is very easy. Just edit your service definition and say, well, I want this version of my operating system, and Windows Azure will, again, find a virtual machine that has that specific version of an operating system installed on it, deploy your application there, and run it on that version of the operating system. Next to that, it's just simple Windows Server 2008. So you have a file system on the virtual machine, you have event logs, you have, well, anything you have on a regular server. Then the Fabric agents. Well, as I said, it's a component of every node, so every virtual machine runs the Fabric agent. And a Fabric agent is basically responsible for monitoring health status of your application. So the Fabric controller will check every heartbeat with all the Fabric agents. Well, is the application still healthy? Yes. Can anyone? Mic is down. Okay. Can everyone hear me like this? Okay, good. I'll try to speak up a little. What was I saying again? Okay. The Fabric agent is pulled by the Fabric controller every time, every heartbeat. And the Fabric agent will respond to the Fabric controller with the status of the application. So your application, in an ideal situation, it should be healthy. But for example, if your application is busy processing a message from a queue or something, you can actually have the Fabric agent respond to the Fabric controller that it's busy, and then that specific node will be taken out of the pool of the load balancer. The application can still run, the worker can finish its work, but he won't get any new requests. So you can actually intercept all the health monitoring and act correspondingly on that. Then next, there's a diagnostics monitor, which is also a component running on every role, every instance of a role on your Windows Azure application. And what this thing does is basically monitor everything that has to do with tracing, everything that has to do with event logs, performance counters, IIS logs, infrastructure logs, and stuff like that. So this thing has the only purpose of, diagnostics information, collecting that, storing it locally on disk, and when you ask for it, you can, of course, transfer it to another location so you can have a feeling of what is going on inside of your role instance. Next, that was the environment. Now we're going to try to interact with the environment. And first of all, let's try to interact with the Fabric. And you can do this through the role environment class. And this class in the Windows Azure SDK offers you some capabilities of interacting with the Fabric. So one of the things there is, for example, that you can get a list of all the running nodes in your application. You can, for example, get all the IP addresses internally in the Windows Azure network of all the instances where you could have inter-role communication, for example. So some use cases, you can read the deployment ID. And I'll talk to you about that later. There's the management API, and the management API needs the deployment ID to know which deployment should be managed. Well, you can get that through the role environment class. You can also, for example, catch events. So an event can be the role instance is starting, the role instance is stopping. But there's also a status check event where you can intercept what the Fabric agent will tell to the Fabric controller about what's going on inside of your application. Another event may be that the configuration changes, and a configuration change can be both a change in the configuration XML file, but it can also be a topology change. So if a new worker role is added to your instance is added to your project, that's a configuration change as well, and the role environment class will inform you if you subscribe to that event. Some other use cases, well, here are the events. So you have, for example, the changing and changed event. So right before the environment is changing, right before the topology changes, or before configuration changes, you get the event, or right after that. And you can, for example, if configuration changes, it may be suitable to issue a full role instance restart, but it may also be feasible to just accept the new configuration value, write it somewhere in memory, and do that. So it's always different for each application. One application may need a full restart after a configuration change, while another application may just want to have the information and do nothing with it in terms of restarting and stuff like that. There's also the status check event, where the fabric controller will connect to your fabric agent and ask for the status of your role instance. Well, like I said, if you're processing a queue and you have a very intensive process running, and you don't want new requests being dispatched to that web role or worker role, you can simply take it out of the load balancer pool. The load balancer will only forward requests to all the other instances, and this specific instance can finish work and then afterwards report healthy again and be in the load balancer again, which is quite nice to do. Another fun thing is the role environment stopping event, for example. Eve talked about about the Windows Azure drives. Well, the Azure drives are virtual hard disks that you can mount on a role instance. But the problem is you can only mount that virtual hard drive as a read-write disk on one role instance. So you can read it on multiple instances, but there's only one instance that can write to it at a time. So if a role goes down, if it's stopping, the ideal world would be that you unmount the Azure drive, for example, and release it so another web role or worker role can use it afterwards for having write access. And that's what you would typically do in the stopping event. Next, getting the list of all the instances in your deployment is quite a nice one, because first of all, you can monitor how many instances that are running. You can also use the management API and get a list of all the instances running, but that's pretty intensive. You would have to have a certificate and read the XML file, parse the XML file, stuff like that. It's much easier to just iterate over the collection you get from the role environment class and really get all the information that the environment is providing to you. And a fun implementation of this could be inter-role communication. And I have a demo on that one. Well, first, I'm going to talk about what the demo is doing. So I've implemented a chat application where, there's multiple worker roles sitting there running a WCF service. And I'll have users connecting to the WCF service through the load balancer. And one user may end up at worker role instance number 0, one may end up at instance number 1, number 2, and stuff like that. So this could be the situation of all the connections. And then one user is going to send a message to, the instance he's connected to. The instance will get the message and dispatch the message to all the other worker roles in my solution, so all these other worker roles can inform their users of that same message. And that's what you can do with the inter-role communication. So I'll quickly show you how this is done. I have a small demo here. Eve showed you this. This is the fabric, the development fabric, where I have a simulated cloud environment. And as you can see, I'm running 3 worker roles here, all doing their stuff. Then I have a client application, like this one, where user A can sign in. And this may take a while because it's trying to establish a connection. And when it's connected, you will see the worker role ID it's connected to. So this service is reporting, you're connected to instance number 0, and my user is online. Then I can have a second user, and user B can also sign in. And you will notice that this user is now signed into role instance number 1 instead of 0. So it's a different worker role instance that I'm connected to. And what I can do is, as user A, I can click on user B and say, hello, send a message, and user B will get this message. And what's actually happening is that instance number 1 is receiving the message, and instance number 2, and instance number 1 dispatches the message to all the other worker roles in my solution, and those worker roles will then inform their users of what's being said and what should happen in the application. So how this is done? Well, basically, I'm just getting a list of all the worker roles that are in my solution. Then I get a list of all the worker role instances that are running. So I know there are 3 instances running. All these instances have their own IP endpoints, so a TCP port, an IP address. And then I'm using that to connect from one worker role to all the other roles using WCF on an internal address inside of Windows Azure. So this inter-role communication is really on a separate network from the regular internet. And there's no way I can actually connect from my machine to the internal endpoints of my web roles running on Windows Azure. Next, monitoring and diagnostics, which is quite a fun thing to have a look at. Let's first situate. If you have a regular solution and you have a single server, for example, what you will have is you know the environment. You know how many instances you have running. You know how many servers you have. You know their addresses. You know what they're doing. And you can trace what's happening. So if you have a transaction going on, a user is connecting to one server, you can easily check whether that user is connected to server A or to server B. And you can trace what he's doing, see what's going on under the covers. Then if you want to do that, usually you connect via terminal services, for example, to the server. You open up the Windows Event Viewer and you go have a look at the events that have been shown or at specific log files and stuff like that. So basically, you're doing the monitoring on the same machine as where you have the tools available for querying the monitoring. You're doing it on the same machine as where the log files are. You have Notepad or some log reader tool where you can also inspect the log files all on one machine. So the tools and the data are on one single location. Now, on the other hand, if you have a cloud environment, it's all okay if you only have one role instance, and it will probably also be okay if you have 2 instances. But basically, if you get like 100 instances, it becomes a bit harder to trace which user is connected to which server, because the second request of that user can be on another server and stuff like that. So it may become difficult to trace what's happening inside of your application. Next, what about tooling? You can't connect to a Windows Azure role instance. You can't terminal server into that. You can't run the event viewer on that machine. So it's a bit difficult to read all the events. On the other hand, if you have 100 role instances, it becomes very difficult, even if you had them as real server. It would become difficult to connect to them using terminal server and inspect all the event logs over the full solution, for example. So it's a bit of a challenge. Another thing is, well, when you have a normal data center and a single server, you know when the server is down. But on Windows Azure, you're never sure when your machine is going to go down for a service upgrade or something. And if that server is logging something and you don't know, you have not inspected the logs, and the machine is discarded and a new virtual machine is returned in place and your application is deployed on that automatically, you've lost your log files. You've lost your event log. You've lost your tracing information. So it would become very hard to really know what's going on inside of your application. And that's what you can do using the Diagnostics Monitor class, which is a class that interacts with the Diagnostics Monitor agent that's running on each virtual machine. And it allows you to basically define what performance counters you want to track. It allows you to define if you want to have IIS logs, for example. It provides a functionality of telling the diagnostic monitor to upload its event logs to blob storage, for example, where you can easily query all the logs, where you can easily download all the logs, inspect what's going on in your application. And here's how this works. So you have your virtual machine, the green part on the image, and inside of that virtual machine you have your role running. And when the role starts, it will first start with configuring the diagnostics agent. So the diagnostics agent will get a configuration. Basically, it's just a configuration that contains all the default values, namely almost no monitoring. And you can only do that once. But you should manually start the diagnostics, tell to the diagnostic monitor to watch your log files. That's something you have to do. You don't have to configure what performance counters you need, but you do have to tell it to start, and that maybe in the future you're going to collect diagnostics information. When that's done, the role will, well, monitor traces. It will write trace information to the local disk on the virtual machine. On the other hand, the diagnostics monitor will also monitor the Windows event logs and everything that's going on inside of your operating system. And also that data is stored on the local disk of the virtual machine. Then, if you've configured the diagnostics monitor to upload, for example, every 5 minutes, all the diagnostics information to Blob Storage, it will do that. Also, you can say, I have a quota of, I want a maximum of 100 megabytes of log files sitting on my local disk. Or if you have that, the diagnostic monitor will check the quotas and upload if needed. So that's what's going on. So another thing you can do is on demand, well, ask the diagnostics monitor on demand to upload everything to Blob Storage, and that's what we're doing here. So you can have both the quotas triggering an upload event of your diagnostics information. You can have a scheduled upload, for example, every hour or every 10 minutes or every 5 seconds if you'd like. But you can also manually contact the diagnostics agent and tell him to, hey, now it's time to upload your log files and everything that's going on in my role. And you can do that on development fabric, so the local Azure environment you have on your machine if you install the development environments. But you can also do that on the cloud and even with multiple instances, no problem. Fun thing is the diagnostics API that's inside the Windows Azure SDK, you can actually use that outside of the cloud. So you're not it's not required to have it running inside of the cloud. You can also run it in a console application or some monitoring tool that you have. And you can use it to interact with a development environment or with the Windows Azure environment. And for example, you can configure the diagnostics monitor through the API you have in your machine. It will upload a new configuration to Blob Storage. Then the role on development environment, for example, will read the Blob Storage every few minutes and then check, well, hey, they need the new performance counter monitored, and it will start monitoring that and giving you the information afterwards. You can also do that one on, well, the production Windows Azure environment, so on the real cloud. You can upload a new configuration to the cloud. The role will actually read the configuration and start collecting data for you. You can also ask it to, well, you can configure it to also upload everything on demand. So your role will get the new configuration, and your role will then upload the information that you've asked. You can do this globally, so for all your role instances, but you can also do this per role instance. So if you have the feeling that one of the instances is behaving a little bit strange, you can actually target monitoring on only one of these instances and get, for example, 2 performance counters from all the machines and all performance counters for one of the role instances that are running. So you can go into quite good detail of what's going on inside your application. Some of the features. Well, first of all, the diagnostics monitor will buffer everything locally. So everything is on the local hard drive of your role instance. Then, based on scheduling or a manual trigger, it will upload that to Blob Storage. On the other hand, if you have it on Blob Storage and log files and performance counters, for example, are on table storage, you can simply use the storage APIs to connect to that information and, for example, query over your performance counter data that's inside of table storage. And it's really easy to get fine control over every role instance that's running and get all the information you need about your environment and about the health of your environment. That being said, here's a nice table of all the things that you can monitor. So you can have event logs, you can have tracing information, you can have IIS logs, you can also have crash dumps collected and stored on Blob Storage. And you can also get infrastructure logs, so all the log files that the Azure Fabric itself and the Fabric agent are generating, so you can actually monitor what your application is doing inside of Windows Azure. Some are enabled by default, some are not. And, well, basically, if you want to collect data, you'll have to configure it through the Diagnostics API. But for some stuff, like for example, trace information, you should only also configure it through webconfig or appconfig to really get a specific filter of the levels that you want in your application. You'll also notice that some of this information is stored on the blob. So for example, crash dumps are just dumps stored on the blob. But if you collect performance counters, for example, these are stored on table storage, and you can really easily query it and I'll see what's going on in your application. There's not much tooling at current to look at this, but I found one, the Cerebrata Diagnostics Manager, which I'll show you. And it allows you to, basically, if you want all the information, you should go to blob storage or table storage. And this tool gives you a nice dashboard and an overview of all the management tools. Looks like I'm being hacked. Let me close that. Okay, Diagnostics Manager. There we go. And it allows you to connect to your application in two fashions. One of the manners can be that you connect to a storage account, so you can connect to a blob storage account where you can get all the data that you want. But if you want more, for example, if you want to reconfigure the diagnostics, or if you want to schedule an on-demand transfer of your logs, you should connect to the service management API, which will use a certificate to manage all your account details and to access all the diagnostics stuff that's in there. So I'm going to go for the last option. So I'll connect to a hosted service, which is our Real Dolmen Blogs website. I don't know if you know it. It's an aggregation of all the bloggers in our company that's hosted on Windows Azure. And this morning I enabled a lot of diagnostics on that one, and I hope it comes true. Yes, there we go. It's loading. And let's, for example, have a look at all the performance counters in my application. Let's say over the last 2 hours, and I'll get my data. In the background, this application is simply connecting to my storage account, downloading all the stuff that's inside of table storage. And well, because of the internet being slow, it takes a while. But here are my performance counters. And for example, I have a small role instance. And well, most of the time, it still has, on average, 1 gigabyte of memory available on my virtual machine. Now, these performance counters, currently it's only one role instance running this thing, but all the performance counter logs are also logged for all the instances globally. So you can actually have a look at the average memory usage of all your instances together through this API. I also have some ASP.NET performance counters and stuff like that. And let's see if we have some infrastructure logs from the past few hours. Let's say the last 8 hours. I think it's still loading. It takes too much time. But in here, what you would typically see is the output of my application like you would have it in your development environment, where it's reporting its state, where you're using diagnostics and other stuff. So we have some data here. So all that you see in here is actually all being outputted by the diagnostics API itself. So I configured it to give me very verbose information on my application. And basically what you're seeing is that it's stopping a task scheduler, stopping monitoring, checking the quotas, reading table statistics and stuff like that. So it's really very detailed, but you can also use this, of course, to monitor your own diagnostic logs and traces and stuff like that. Also, in the last version of this tool, they added a dashboard, which is also quite a fun thing because it's closely resembles the event viewer and the performance counter viewer that you have in your local Windows machine, but it takes too long to load, so I'll just skip that one. But what you would normally see is a nice graphic of everything that's happening, all the performance counters, values, and all the event logs and stuff like that. Any questions so far? Okay, good. Can you still hear me? Okay, perfect. Okay, next thing. if you have all this diagnostics information stored on blob storage and stored on table storage, there are some considerations there. First one is that if you use standard Windows Azure, you have all the performance constraints of your Windows Azure role. So for example, if you write your log files or your performance counter data every second to your storage, first of all, you can't go lower than a few seconds, but say you're in a situation that you want to do this every second, you would have a lot of transactions to your storage accounts. And as you may know, the storage accounts are built for the data that's being stored. They also are built for the data transfer in and out, but also they're built for transactions. It's a very small amount, but if you have 100 worker roles doing all of this, every second, that amount goes up quite fast, and you will end up paying a nice amount on the transaction count as well. Same goes with the amount of data that you gather. If you gather very verbose information for your 100 worker roles, you would get a lot of data that is being stored on blob storage and table storage, and you're paying for data, you're paying for data transfer, so having that intensive field of monitoring may cost you a lot as well. Then another one is data retention. Basically, the Diagnostics API is just dumping data on storage. It's not checking whether the data that's already on the storage account is from a year ago. It doesn't care about that. It will simply leave the storage on there. It will leave the log and performance counter entries on there, even if they're very old. So you are responsible for cleaning up all of that. You are responsible for making sure that the storage doesn't keep growing, unless you want that, of course. Then another thing, querying. The performance counters, they are partitioned by the tick counts of when the performance counter was read. So it's efficient to query on tick count, but it's quite inefficient. I don't know if anyone has tried querying table storage. It's quite inefficient to query on the other fields of the table because there's no indexes on that. And if you have a lot of data, it will take way too much time. So the best thing that you can do is really query by tick count, get information from a certain point in time to another point in time, and then perform further querying in memory or after, for example, dumping it into SQL Server and doing stuff in a real database that has better performance in querying. But it's just some consideration that that you should take care of when deploying something. Well, some common tasks for diagnostics. Well, you know it's from regular application. You're using diagnostics to see what the application is doing, to have an audit of what's going on in there. You also do it to check if the application is healthy, to check if there's enough resources, to, for example, also check if you have specific points in time where you need extra capacity. So, for example, if you notice that every Thursday your CPU time goes up quite a lot, well, maybe you need some more resources on Thursday in your Windows Azure data center and you need more instances. Okay, the management API, which is the last one of the APIs to interact with the environment. Well, the management API is something that allows you to interact with the Fabric controller. So everything that you can do through the Windows Azure portal, like deploying a new application, upgrading it, editing configuration, changing the amount of instances and stuff like that, you can do that through the management API. Fun thing is, they also use the management API to create some PowerShell scripts, where you can, for example, create a PowerShell script that deploys a new application or upgrades it or increases the instances. They also embedded the management API in some MS Build tasks. So if you're doing continuous integration and you want, for example, after every day, a fresh deployment on Windows Azure, you can simply use an MS Build task to automate that and gets your latest drop deployed on Windows Azure, which is quite nice. Now, using the management API. First of all, since it's using a certificate for authentication, you as a developer, or you as an architect, or you as an IT pro, should upload a certificate through the Windows Azure portal, so it can store the certificates as a valid certificates that can use the management APIs. You can store up to 5 certificates, and it's also perfectly possible for you as an IT administrator to upload the certificates and have the developer only using a reference to the certificate, but not having the certificate itself for security reasons. Then, if you want to do a task with the management API, so for example, upgrading a deployment, you can connect to the management API endpoint, which is, again, REST-based. You connect to it using your certificates, and it will simply perform the action that you asked. So for example, it will perform the upgrades or create a new deployment or swap staging and production, something like that. And if you bring everything together, you can do something like auto-scaling. Now, this morning, David Chappell, in one of his first parts of his presentation, he mentioned that it's not supported by Windows Azure, and it is not supported. And I've talked to many persons, and all of these guys were saying, hey, it would be useful if Windows Azure had something like this, where you could just, where you increase your instance count and you change one instance to 2 or 3 or 5, to have something like this where you can specify a minimum number of instances and a maximum number of instances. And I thought, yeah, that would be cool. But then I started thinking, and I thought, well, it may be cool, but it would be impossible to do. Because, first of all, when are you going to scale? It will depend per application. One application should possibly scale, for example, when a queue is full. Another application should scale when, for example, the CPU time goes above 80%. And if you had something like a buff, well, Windows Azure wouldn't know when to scale. So that's one of the reasons I think it's not inside of Windows Azure. Second one is, how should we scale? Should we add one instance? Should we add 10 instances at a specific time? Windows Azure will not know how many capacity you will be needing at that moment where it should automatically scale. Another thing, who or what tool will be responsible for issuing this scaling? You could have someone using the Cerebrata monitor and clicking refresh every 5 minutes and checking everything. You could have an automatic process for doing that and monitoring your application and changing the number of instances. You could have a dedicated set of worker roles in your cloud environment doing all of this monitoring and scaling your application. Maybe your application should monitor itself. Who is going to scale, or what tool is going to perform the scaling? So when are we going to scale? Like I said, some applications might benefit from scaling based on performance counter values. Some might benefit from scaling based on specific log entries or a number of errors in your Windows logs. Other applications may want to scale based on queue count, and maybe if you're Thomas Cook, for example, and I actually added this as a fun note based on the weather, but actually it makes sense, because when you're a travel operator, maybe when the weather's good, people start thinking about booking holidays and booking vacations, and maybe you need more resources on that day for your website hosted in Azure. So you want to weigh these metrics, because, for example, the length of a queue may be more important than the memory that's available on your machine, or vice versa. And you also want to know the trend. Maybe your CPU time or CPU usage is very high, but the trend is going down. Maybe you don't want to scale at that moment. So my answer to that is, first of all, sensors. You can have different sensors in your application monitoring something. And a scaling logic provider that you should plug in and, that should suggest what should happen. For example, scaling up, scaling down, or just doing nothing. These sensors, they are basically in this solution implemented as interfaces. And you can just attach any sensor to your scaling logic. So you could have a sensor based on performance counters, based on the weather, based on whatever. And all these things give inputs to my scaling logic. And they also, if possible, deliver the trends of their readings. So if your performance counter is going up, you want the trend to be known, and you want to know that the trend is going up. Okay, how are we going to scale? I don't know if you tried, but if you change the number of instances on Windows Azure, sometimes it takes up to 5 minutes to get everything upgraded and a new virtual machine running and stuff like that. Sometimes it takes 15 minutes, sometimes it takes half an hour, but on average it takes 15 minutes to change the topology of your application, have more instances than before or have less instances than before. If you ask the environment to scale up, for example, during those 15 minutes, it will simply ignore that and wait till the topology is finished updating from the previous request and then accept new changes. So what if your trend is going up and you have a sudden spike in your application? If you decide to only add one instance, the next 15 minutes you're doomed if the load keeps increasing and you actually should have started four instances at that time. So the how is also something that you should decide per application and really base on all the sensor data that's coming in. Again, you want to base this on the weight of the metrics, so one metric may be more important than another one, and you also want to base this based on the trends of the data that you're reading. The answer to that, again, is the scaling logic provider that will be different per application. So this is the thing. All the sensors are delivering their data to the scaling logic provider, and the scaling logic provider will then give a suggestion to the environment of scaling up fast, adding more instances than one, for example, scaling down or doing nothing. But because the environment, if it's stuck for 15 minutes changing topology, you can't force it to immediately add new stuff. So the scaling logic provider will also will only give a suggestion to the environment instead of a hardcore value, I want 5 instances, for example. Because the backend may not be suited at that time to upgrade or add new role instances to your application. Then the who and the what. Maybe you want a dedicated server or a dedicated monitoring environment or a dedicated worker role running your application, running your monitoring of your application. Problem is, if you do it in a separate worker role, and if you want the SLA of Windows Azure, you should host 2 worker roles. So imagine deploying 1 application that's not that big, but big enough to need autoscaling, for example. If you should add 2 worker roles for monitoring the application at that time, well, maybe those worker roles are way too expensive compared to your application relatively. So if you have 2 worker roles, you're paying 2 worker roles for a full month. Every month, which is quite costly if it's only for this purpose. Then on the other hand, maybe you want your application to monitor itself. Say that you only have 2 instances of the application running, 2 role instances running your website on Windows Azure, and you decided, well, adding 2 worker roles is way too expensive. I want the application to monitor itself. Basically, if you have 2 instances and those 2 instances are instructed to monitor the application, you may come in a situation where both instances are giving suggestions to the role environment at the same time. And one can say up, one can say down, and what's going to happen, I don't know. So if you want to do this, you need some sort of a master election between all your role instances that are running, just to make sure you're not sending double commands to the environment. Problem is, with master election, what if one of those roles goes down? So you should have something in there for that situation as well. So if one role goes down, that your monitoring thread is still running and that your scaling logic can still continue. So again, this will differ per application. There's no golden hammer where you can say, well, every application should have dedicated worker roles. Maybe some applications should monitor themselves, or some hybrid situation, or something on premises, or on your desktop. You never know, it differs per application. So for the autoscaling, there are more approaches. worker roles, dedicated stuff, console applications, or the master election and having the application monitor itself. So I decided to create a demo with the last situation where the application just monitors itself and scales based on the findings it has in the application. So let me show you. I have this chat application again, and you will see that every role instance is nicely monitoring its state. So for example, instance 2 is just saying, hey, I'm working, and a message has been sent and stuff like that. But you will also notice that my first role, for example, is reading sessions and has some sort of a session sensor. So I added a sensor to this application to measure how many users are logged in, and I instructed it to scale based on the number of users that are logged in. And as you see, my first instance is doing the monitoring now, and my second is not doing that. So the master election has taken place. In the background, I've been communicating and really deciding which one of those roles is going to be master to perform the scaling. Then I already had one user logged in. I had two users logged in. Let's just add a third user. There we go, user C logging in. He's connected to role instance number 2, as you can see in the title bar. And in my scaling logic provider, I told if the session sensor, so the sensor that's reading out how many users are logged in, reads a value higher than 3, so if I have 4 users or 5 or 6 in my application, that it should add a new instance to the application. So let's do that. Let's add a fourth one. User D signing in. And you will see after a while that my first instance is reading 3 sessions and that it's performing scaling. And normally, if this works, it should add an instance, but somehow it crashed. But that is, there's a sign-in problem, right, because I changed my passwords this morning. Bad for demos. Fun thing is, this thing both works on Dev Fabric and on Production Fabric. So you can both scale your development fabric for testing purposes of your application, but you could also do it on the cloud itself. So what I did is, I had my sessions, I had my chat application, and I was reading the number of sessions. And based on that, I was doing the scaling within the application. So the application really found out which one is going to be master, which one is going to do the monitoring, and which one is basically going to give the suggestion to the environment to scale. And if you take all the APIs that we've seen, so the role environments class, where you can interact with your environments, Fabric controller, Fabric agents, and stuff. Just going to close that one. If you combine that one with the diagnostics API, and if you combine it with the management API and with the storage API, where you can get all the performance counter values and other stuff related to the diagnostics, it gives you power. Basically, if you use all the APIs together, you have almost full control over the environment without needing administrative access and stuff like that. Okay, it's difficult to deploy a BizTalk. Well, you can't do that. But still, you have very good control over your environment and what is happening within your application. So, some takeaways. Windows Azure, the environment consists of the Fabric controller, the Fabric agent, virtual machines running a virtual operating system, the diagnostics monitor, and your application, of course. Keeps trying to scale, so I'm going to kill this one. There we go. It's always good to do that during the conclusive moment of a talk. All the components provide interaction. So if you want to know what's happening inside of your environment, if you want to know what's happening inside of your fabric, controller, or agent, if you want a response to events like the changing of topology, or the bringing down, or the health check, or something like that, you can interact with the fabric. So it's not a closed process that you can't influence. You can actually influence it quite good and get some roles out of the load balancer loop, for example, for a specific time in its runtime. You have full monitoring, you have full diagnostics. It's a bit tricky to get all the data, but if all the roles are configured correctly, they just upload everything to storage and you can simply query it, read what's going on, read log files, event logs, and stuff like that. And with the management API, you can actually do anything. You can have a build script that deploys a new application to staging on Windows Azure. You can have a PowerShell script that restarts a role instance, for example, and you can do all the autoscaling. And if you bring everything together, you really have good power over what's happening in the environment. With that, are there any questions? Okay, that's perfect. Thank you for being here, and I think we can still have a chat on this after the session, so feel free to come up. Thank you.